This is the reference Bible that a fella put it. Yeah, the first row, go ahead. Second row. Can you see it with the lights on? One more, this row. The three on the right-hand side. There you go. Is that okay? Can you see? Oh, look at it. He's got binoculars. Maybe if I slide it this way. I know there's a way of making it bigger, but I'm kind of computer ill. Better? Is that better? Dad, mom's looking like this. Maybe if I go with...
There you go.
That's better? A little bit better? Should we pass out binoculars to everybody? You can auction them off. Well, okay, have your Bible in front of you, and then I'll point at this, and then you can look at your Bible back and forth. Okay. So, I like using this laptop better because it's faster, or I know how to use it faster. Okay, this is Sword Searcher 9. Okay, and that's a Bible program that I use, and you can type in here. Like, eventually I know I'm going to go to high places. And then hit phrase. And so then that occurs 20 times. So we're going to go through that. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this. I pray that this would be beneficial and that we would be good students of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Numbers, in your Bible, this is this would be page 266. I can make this bigger. Zoom out. No, that's zoom in. Zoom in. How's that? It's more one way to skin a cat. Oh, I don't want to say that too loud. Okay, this is where we left off last week. I have sinned. Balaam said, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. So remember that Balaam, the Lord told Balaam, if the guys come and get you, then you can go with them. They didn't come and get him. He went with them anyway, and then God was mad. And then he got between a rock and a hard place. Then the donkey saw the angel with the sword, so the guy's getting ready to get his head cut off. And so then God opened Balaam's eyes. Then he saw the angel. Okay, and then verse 35. So this is new territory. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Okay, now, if you had a gun put to your head, are you going to say what God wants you to say? Because that's what he had. Because the sword was, you know, he could have. And so he's definitely going to say what he's supposed to say. So 36, when Balak heard that Balaam was come, of course, he's a politician, and he expects everybody to jump for him. He went out to meet him unto a city of Moab. And last week we looked at the map of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Oh, yeah, you did. Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Because you're not God. But again, this is the mindset of like a king or president or politician. How dare you not say this? Remember, that's how Ahab acted toward Elijah. And this, am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? Okay, there's the bottom line. There's the question. What does he mean by that? Money, 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 money. Where'd Balak get the money? Stole it from the people. Okay, so he is... Balaam, of course, Balaam wants this honor. He wants... Man, he is just desiring it terribly. And remember that Balaam, last week I went through Balaam where he's mentioned in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation. So this is going to be a rehash of the tribulation time period in some ways. So Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Now that sounds pious if you don't know the undercurrent. The undercurrent is he's got a 9mm right here. You're going to speak what I tell you to speak. In the Old Testament, God could actually control somebody against their will on occasion. Okay, remember King Saul where he prophesied and all that? This is where the charismatics get the idea of slain in the spirit. They get that out of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14, it states that the spirits are subject unto the prophets. In 1 Corinthians 14, and what's interesting about that, that's the chapter on tongues. And the spirits are subject unto the prophets. 29, let the spirit speak. Doop, 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 doop. Hold your peace. There we go. 32. And the spirits are subject unto the prophets. This is why we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, spirits, even unclean spirits, are often subject to their indweller, the one they indwell, if that person says no. Okay? There's a friend of mine down in Rensselaer. He worked at Morocco Sand and Gravel. He's standing in the water. A crane's coming across. He's going to hook onto something. The crane hit a power line. He got shocked. He saw the light. He saw the tunnel. He had peace come over him. He uttered, no! Everything went away. He was lost at the time. If he would have stepped into that, he would have been into hell. So the spirits are subject unto the prophets. Okay, let's see. I'm going with the PDF one, aren't I? Okay, then it says, Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto that there place, Kir Jeth Hazroth. And Balaam offered oxen and sheep. Balak offered oxen and sheep, sent to Balaam, and the princes that were with him. Okay, where'd they get this idea from? Next verse. Now it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam, brought him into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. What takes place there? At the high places of Baal. Okay, Baal, the B-A-L, dropped one A. You have the end of cannibal. The priest of Baal cannibalized people in these high places. And Balaam is standing there. Does he know that? He most certainly knows it. Now, if we go back to here, this is where I typed in high place. Okay, I put it under phrase right there. If I hit this subscreen, then it will hit all the high place and the S's. So here we have it. So this is the first occurrence. Kind of small. I can't really make this bigger, I don't think. Okay, this is the first time the word high places are found in Leviticus 26. God told them, destroy them, cut them down, cast their carcasses upon the idols, and my soul shall abhor you. So the Lord said, destroy those places. Why? That's what the heathen do in those places. Okay, Numbers 21, Numbers. There's where Balaam's at. Okay, Numbers 22, 41. There he is again. Let's see. There. Now, this one is the Lord. Okay, and let's see, when we get to the end of Chronicles, we'll see how bad it is. Okay, here in 1 Kings 13, okay, that promise is, remember that young prophet that God said, go speak to the altar in Bethel, that's up north, preach against it. And he said, this guy said, onto this altar, a boy, a Josiah is going to be king, and he's going to burn priest's bone on this altar. 350 years later, a boy named Josiah was born of the lineage of David. He became a king at 8 years old. He started seeking God at 16 years old. And then he tried to clean up the Jewish temple at 20 years old. And in that cleaning up the Jewish temple is where he found this sepulcher with this man of God and the sepulcher and the priest's bones. And he took those bones and burned them on the altar. 350 years later, prophesied. Okay, that's the young fella that the old prophet lied to him, and then the lion came and killed the donkey and did not eat the donkey, did not kill him. Well, he got killed. No, I'm sorry, killed him, not he didn't eat the donkey. So, okay, run through the 2 Kings. Oh boy, there we go. We're getting, okay. 2 Kings 15, 16. Okay, 17, 2 Kings 17 is when the nation of Israel was obliterated. Okay, they were conquered by Assyria. So that's in 2 Kings 17, you'll see the end of Israel. And then when you go to 2 Kings 23, there's Josiah. And then here in 25 is when Judah is destroyed, conquered by Babylon. And all of these cases, what did they do? They sacrificed, pagans sacrificed on high places. Okay, you can read the Bible to see how bad they did, what it was, what it was like. It was terrible. Okay, and so then God took them away. Now, if you go past Psalms, even into Jeremiah, see all the high places mentioned by Jeremiah? He is warning them about this. He knows what's going on right outside the wall of Jerusalem in the Valley of Hinnom. He knows what's going on down there. And he's warning them. And then God's judgment. Okay, right here you go. Okay, if you can see that. Okay, they built the high places of Baal, so that's the one Numbers writes, which are in the Valley of the Sun in Hinnom, that's right outside of Jerusalem. You take a bus around the wall. Hank, do you remember going by the Valley of Hinnom when you were on the tour in Jerusalem? There's a little valley that come around, they curve around. Okay, and so what did they do there? To cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. Molech is the one, remember the 30,000 emails that Hillary Clinton did nothing wrong? One of those, she said she's going to offer a chicken to Molech. That's the owl god. Yeah. Okay, which I command them not, neither came into my mind. Neither came into my mind doesn't mean God's not omniscient. It's like, I never even thought of you wanting to do something like this. It was so bad. That they should do this abomination caused Judah to sin. Okay, so now Balaam is years in the future of that. Okay, so he's years in the future, but this is going to build up. So Balaam definitely knew what was happening there. It's an evil man. So in 23, Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, prepare me here 7 oxen, 7 rams. You'll see Job does something like this. These things were not new to these people. That God had spoke to these people. These heathen are smarter than the ones that the professors at state colleges are. They'll say, what about the heathen that never know? And I'll say, the heathen know more than you do. And they do. Okay, and so Balak did unto Balaam as had spoken. So Balaam is giving him orders. Balak is doing it. Why? Balaam wants Balak, you know, these two B's back and forth. Balak wants Balaam to curse Israel. So he offered on an altar a bullock and ram, and Balaam said unto Balak, so he's going to do the offering. Stand by the burnt offering. The Jewish one is in Leviticus 1. And I will go, peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me. By chance, God's going to meet me with this sacrifice. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. So now at this high place, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. So he's not going to go to the extreme that Balak had been doing. He's going to go to something that he knows would appease God. He knows that other won't appease God, so he's going to go this route. So then, amazing, for God met Balaam. Isn't that amazing, God's mercy? God met this guy, okay, even though God knew what he was going to do. And then God met Balaam, and he said unto him, Balaam said to God, I have prepared 7 altars, and I offered up every altar a bullock and a ram. So bullock and ram, that's what wealthy people are supposed to do. And since Balak is wealthy, so he's supposed to do that. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. So he gave him some words he's supposed to say. Again, with a gun to his head. You know, a sword to his head. An angel. And remember, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. I don't think one guy is going to be a problem. So these angels are amazing. So Balaam, and he returned unto him. Balaam returned to Balak. And lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab, and he took up his parable. Okay, now I don't have a cross-reference there. I don't know. I should get fired on that one because there's a bunch of places you can put parable. Yeah, and I look at it. I had plenty of spaces in there to write parable. A parable is a parallel story. So remember the Lord spoke in parables after Israel rejected the message. Okay, in Matthew 12, Israelites, the Sanhedrin, said Jesus is the devil. He's casting out devils by the devil. He has got an unclean spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. Matthew 13, it goes into mystery form. They ask him, why are you going to speak in parables? He said, because now they've rejected me, so I'm speaking parables. A parable is a parallel story. So Balaam is going to give a parallel story. He probably doesn't know it. I don't think he knows the doctrinal meaning of it. But I would say the parallel would be history then, at that time, the present versus the future in the tribulation. So it's a twofold idea. Okay, and you'll find, if I go back over here, type in parable. I know there's one in Psalms, in the Old Testament, Psalm 78. But notice this parable, Numbers 23, 24, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, there. And then the same with Job. If you read through Job doctrinally, you'll see Job 27, 29. Much of Job is not only history, but prophecy of the trib. And then this is one I was looking at, is Psalm 78. So when you do this, see, it jumps right over there. See how fast that is back and forth? It's really convenient. Okay, and then David said here, Mishael of Asa. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And so when you read down through this psalm, it's going to be a parallel, most likely, of the tribulation. So this is what these parables. Okay, look at that comparable. I forgot to unclick that. So that gives you all the parables. Okay, and then you go with the Lord. See, so Matthew 13, like I said, Matthew 13, that's the first time he started going through them, and he gave seven of them in Matthew 13. Is that a coinkydinky, that seven, how that works? Okay, so back to here, he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. And so Balak's listening, and Balaam says, how can I curse whom God hath not cursed, and how shall I defy whom God hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, that's Israel, he can see Israel. Balak has taken him so they could overlook 2 to 3 million people, about 3 million people. From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob? Okay, does that ring a bell back in Genesis 12 about the stars? The prophesy of Israel is going to have descendants as the dust and the stars. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Okay, Old Testament, righteous, not saved. Righteous. And let my last end be like his. My last end, Balaam, like Israel's last end. What's their last end? Resurrection. According to Ezekiel 37, Israel gets restored to their kingdom. So that's what Balaam is. He's blessing them instead of cursing them. Balak figured it out, and now he's mad. So 11, Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies. Behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, now we can throw in a little false piety here. Oh, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Yeah, when there's a sword to your throat, of course you're going to speak it. Okay, and of course the Lord told him that. And then Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee with me unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them and shall not see them all, and curse them from thence. So Balak's trying a second time. The devil's persistent, isn't he? And Balak is a type of the Antichrist. Okay, but the devil's persistent. So 14. Okay, I write the footnote about Balak. He reveals the real intentions of Arabs against the Jewish people. And that's true. No Muslim Arab can be trusted to keep any peace treaty. That's a real encouraging thing the United Nations would love to have. And then Hudna. Hudna is a doctrine in the Muslim faith that you can have a peace treaty with an enemy, maybe signed, but it is limited to 10 years. That's a doctrine in Muslim faith. Okay, and so meaning you can't, and then I give these scriptures. These really, really would be prophecies about Muslims lying, signing agrees with Israel. And of course, we know the United Nations is against Israel. They're solidly for the Muslims. And how many times in the Old Testament, well, I can find out. How many times does it say, Holy One of Israel? Phrase 31 times. It's like the Lord is saying, United Nations, I am the Holy One of Israel. Boom. If you don't like it, tough. And so that's what the Lord's promised the Israelites. And so the Holy One of Israel, all the way through there, Isaiah, a bunch in Isaiah. Boy, and then two in Jeremiah. So that's something. Okay, verse 14, it says, and he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah and built seven altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Boy, wouldn't the vegans really hate that today? Couldn't do that today. And he sat on a Balak. I remember when Ron Wyatt dedicated the visitor center to Noah's Ark on the mountains of Sinai. And I remember it was a real quick clip. I don't know if anybody saw this, but it was a real quickie. And Ron was taking a goat down like this, and he's getting ready to cut his throat because that's what the Muslims in Turkey wanted. And then he quick moved to camera because he knew Americans couldn't handle that. But it was just a real quickie where he's just getting ready to, you know, like Hollywood, where they put the knife there and then it pulls the camera away. You think something like that. So 15, he said unto Balak, stand here by the burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam. Isn't that amazing? I just find that amazing. And the Lord, and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by a burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? He took up his parable, said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. Zippor. What a name. Now this, there are some verses in the Bible that are like, you know, you got your fingers, your toes, your arms, and but there are some things like your kidney, like your liver, your heart. It's like passages that pop off the page that are kind of highlighted. And this is one of those. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Okay, now, that, for some, that would be a confusing verse. Okay? This says God is not a man, and then he says that he should repent. But have you read enough Bible knowing that God has repented? So how do we reconcile those passages? And that's why we got a little one there. We come down here in the bottom to help explain it. Where God will not change his mind about an inflexible issue. Thank God for eternal security. That's one thing he will not change his mind on. But flexible issues may change according to man's actions or God's attitude. And this one here is Moses praying at the contemporary dance. God said, I'm wiping them out. Moses said, oh, no, don't do that. So his prayer saved the lives of 2 to 3 million people. This one is Samuel. It is a no-brainer. And this one is Jonah. Okay, Jonah is Jonah. And remember that the people of Nineveh repented. And they didn't know of God. They did not know if God was going to not judge them, because Jonah said, 40 days you're going to be judged. They didn't know if God was going to listen, and God did. So that was a flexible issue for the Ninevites. And so when something's flexible, you and I can pray and possibly influence God. If it's inflexible, and in the Old Testament, when God raises his right hand and says, I swear by my name, you'll find that in Ezekiel, nothing is going to change that. He did that with Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah, don't you pray for Judah. I will not pardon them. Don't waste my time. And God did not. So when it's a flexible issue, man can influence God, but like this one, when it's an inflexible issue, there is nothing can be done. Okay, God is not a man that he should lie. All these references, this one God does not change. This one says man lies. This one says God does not. And that one there, okay, God cannot lie. So God is not a man. Then 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So, of course, Balak's mad again. So he's upset. He's not going to do. And Balaam, in his mind, is saying, man, I just really need that money. I would love to have that honor. I would love to have that. But that angel's right over there. And I don't want to. So I'm going to obey. So behold, and then he says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Whoa. God hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Wow. How many times did God tell him how perverse they were? But when he looks through something, now what is it that God will not change about here in verse 19? He will not change the everlasting covenant with Israel is forever. And he's not going to change that. So Israel, and it's not, Israel hasn't changed into British Israelites and the white Anglo-Saxons and the Catholics. No, it's Israel. God will not change that. Okay, the Lord, his God, is with them, and a shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath also, he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Oh, the scholars jump all over that. My Little Pony. What is a unicorn? Well, we would think a horse with one horn. Could be a rhinoceros. Could be an animal that's just extinct. Doesn't matter. You see, so unicorn, I give the other places where a unicorn is mentioned in the Bible, those other places. Job 39 is spoken by God himself about a unicorn. And, you know, I guess maybe a rhino, but because it's got, you know, one horn, but still, it doesn't matter. 23, sure there's no enchantment against Jacob. Okay, enchantment. That's what the pagans do. Okay, some of you have heard this story. I've heard this two times now where somebody's in an airplane. They were fasting. A Christian sitting beside a person who was fasting. I've heard this on two different occasions now. The Christian assumed that this person was fasting was a Christian, so they spoke up a conversation. Why are you fasting? He said, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Satanist. We're fasting because we're praying against Christians. And I've heard that on two different occasions now. And one guy said, we're praying for 3,000 fundamentalist pastors to fall this year, and we're ahead of schedule. And that was years ago that I heard that testament, and I heard it again from somebody else recently. So that's the enchantments. That's why we got to know spiritual warfare. Why do the believers just don't even consider this? It's just amazing to me. Sure, there's no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob, of Israel, what hath God wrought? Okay, look at four words. Now, that one is a beautiful story in American history. And I just give four lines for it. And you can look it up. But the truth of electricity transmitting words gave Samuel Morse the idea of the telegraph. There's the verse. There's the verse where it says lightning and words. That verse caused Samuel Morse to be curious about that. And then the telegram came into being. Either he or Tesla, who knows, gets the credit for it. But it's words going through wires. Okay, and the very first public testimony, you can look this at World Book Encyclopedia, when Samuel Morse did this, is he wrote, what hath God wrought? That statement right there. What hath God wrought? Now, the Samuel Morse, and most people talk about history and Samuel Morse and a wonderful all that stuff, but they don't realize or they haven't been taught that Samuel Morse wrote two books warning Americans about the Jesuits coming into America, destroy America. And boy, they don't want to talk about that. I was in a bank on Friday trying to get help Joab get a bank account because Gabby is coming to get her driver's license. She needs to pass her driver's test. So it worked for us the last time where we have an address change and a bank account, so she has two IDs for her driver's license. So Joab, we're going to do the same thing. So we already got the one, and I set up the bank account, and I'm sitting in the chair, and the young lady's there. We're going back and forth. I'm on the phone, you know, getting contacting Brent and Joab, and we're doing, you know, Marco Polo and text and all this stuff. And I said to the woman, I said, isn't it amazing what we can do with cell phones these days? And she said, yeah. I said, do you know how they work? She said, do you think it's satellite? Probably so. I said, guess what? Submarine communication cables. I said, look it up. They've laid submarine communication cables since 1850. That was the first time they laid one. And they lay it on the floor of the ocean. They have it from America to Florida, the ocean, clear over to Europe. And you can type it online and see all the map of where they're all at. And she started laughing. She said, I can't wait to go home to show my boys I know something they don't know. And it's right there. And it's that electrical wire. That's why we can talk to Heidi so fast. It's going through those wires. It goes through the wires and it hits a land, you know, a land cell phone. It's, everything's triangulation. And that's how that works. And all of that from one verse, Job 38:35. Just think of how, if we figured out the 30,000 other verses in the Bible. Boy, isn't the millennium is going to be fascinating. The technology of the millennial time period. I believe before the flood, they were much more advanced than we are today. Much more. Okay, back to this. Numbers 23:24. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion. And he's saying this to Balak. Balak's just going nuts now. He's losing it. And lift up thyself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak sitting there. Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. He's shutting them up. He interrupted them. Shut up. And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do? Again, because the angel's over there getting ready to, you know, nail him if he don't. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure, it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. He already told you God's not going to change, pal. You're a slow learner. And then Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor and looked toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, here we go again. Build me here 7 altars, prepare me 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And if you ask Balak, where do you think he got the number 7 from? Why is it that you're picking and choosing parts of the Bible, Balak? Why don't you just, if you can't beat them, why don't you join them? But Balak is a type of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist just is going to do what he does as a full-fledged psychopath. And Balaam did as Balak had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And so then we got chapter 24. So, okay, speed reading. We got through that. Now we're in chapter 25. So it's 2 minutes till. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I pray that this would be a help if we can make it somehow bigger. Help us figure it out. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.